he mentioned that he's my pastor. I told him this afternoon, you're not my pastor. You're my pester. All he does is pester me. But I'm thankful for him, amen? I'm thankful for Brother Pickard, his leadership on this council, amen? I give honor to the Boswell Church tonight for all those that have drove, amen? There are several people that have drove every single day, every single night, several hours to be here. There's some of us that have stayed here, amen, and enjoyed the amenities that this camp offers, but there are others that have drove every single day, hour, 2 hours, and we appreciate you, amen? We appreciate you. Amen. So thankful for our music team this week, Sister Pickard. Amen. Did an awesome job. Amen. The Church of Boswell. Amen. Amen. All the speakers. I have been to many conferences. I have been to many, many conferences, and I've heard some of the best preaching of any conference that I've been to, amen, this week in every single service, amen. Brother Blevins today knocked it out of the park. Brother Jones yesterday. Brother Akers, amen. Brother Martin, Brother Pickard, amen. Thank you for setting the platform for tonight. Brother McCamey, my worship leader and my associate pastor from my church, amen, did an awesome job leading us in worship. Amen. Give him a hand. Amen. Thank you for all the new ministers that have become a part of us. We love each and every one of you. You are our family. Brother and Sister Martin, amen. We got to spend some time with them today at lunch, and it's so good to have them a part of our family. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different. If we can stand for just a minute, Brother and Sister Martin, come. For those that do not know Brother and Sister Martin, they have suffered tragic loss. Their 16-year-old son was killed in a car wreck, and they suffer from it every single day. Brother and Sister Hardesty lost their son last night, motorcycle accident. And we're going to take just a few minutes to pray for that family, pray for that church, and pray for their pastor. This is the second loss he's had in his church. They lost their Sunday school superintendent 2 weeks ago, 43 years old, went in for just a simple procedure and died. And we need to pray for them. And I'm going to ask tonight for Brother Martin and Sister Martin to pray for this family, because they know loss like no one else here does. Amen? Amen. They know loss. It's a tragic thing. But through it, they have learned to pray for other people. Amen. Can we bow our heads?
Let's turn around this way. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you right now, God, understanding, God, that we don't understand everything about their loss. There's no way to know the depth, the personal loss, God. We know that they've lost their child, God. We know that we've lost our child, but actually they're not lost, God, because we know where they are. God, we just thank you, Lord, right now, God, that we're able at this time, Lord, in our loss, to be able to pray for others, to know how the tragedy feels, how it sounds when someone says they didn't make it. They're not coming home. They won't be back. How it feels to turn the corner out of the kitchen to go down the hall and There's nobody there. There's no sound in that bedroom anymore. There's no footsteps to come back through the hall. There's no, hey, Dad, hang in there. You'll make it. There's no, Mom, I'll be back in a little while. There's no sound of the car turning its engine off or him turning the engine off under the carport. Maybe the other young man parking the motorcycle at night. There's no return home anymore to this natural home, God. Lord, but we know they went home to be with Jesus. We know how that family must feel tonight. Lord, we also know, God, by the losing of Dallas, God, that there's no word for the loss of a child. There's a word for losing a husband. There's a word for losing a mother or a sister. There's a word for losing a grandmother. Lord, they're widows. They're widowers. They're lost a friend, God. But there's no word that Webster could come up with for losing a child. So we understand that, God. We understand no one can come up with a word to describe it, God. But we also know that there's a word, and that word is the name of Jesus, that can send and bring comfort. There's a word, God, that's called a church. It's an organization. It's just a friend down the street that could stop by or send a card, make a call, God. If somebody could just reach out to this family that's just recently lost their loved one, their child. I spoke with the bishop just this afternoon. I said, if we pray from now till next general conference, we can't pray enough for this man and woman that's lost their child just yesterday. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to reach out to them. Help us to send a prayer up for them. Don't forget your loved ones. Don't forget your brothers and sisters that's lost, especially their children and their close loved ones. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for this church organization, this AFF that's wrapped their arms around us this week. Oh God, and for Brother Martin, Brother and Sister Martin that reached out to us. I thank God for that church. I thank God for that church. And we're here tonight because they extended love to our family. Just by circumstance, if I could, just because my son's name was Dallas, his dad's name was Dallas. We live in Houston, Mississippi. He lived in Houston, Texas. We're Martins, they're Martins. It's just, he said it was just too much. It was just too much to turn and walk away and say, well, Lord bless him, I've got to contact him. And he made a call and he said, hey, Brother Martin, I'm Brother Martin. And I just want to extend some love to you, however he said it. I want to reach out to you. So you have some great men of God. Lord, please, please, knowing the feeling, this is something that we made this statement, we'll never get out of the woods. We'll never get over. I'll never be able to walk around my carport and step in the place that Dallas parked his car. Without just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just something. I turn on the road that we live on. I almost get to the road. And in my heart, in my being, there's that old road again that I got to go down. There's that old driveway that I got to turn into. There's that old empty bedroom. There's no footsteps down the hall. Could I say, children, young men, children, young men, be careful. You want your license. I wasn't going to do this. This is not planned, and I'm sorry. Y'all want your license. Y'all want to drive, but you don't. You're getting out there in a big old world. An 84-year-old man come over into Dallas's land and hit him head on. We have not so much as heard, I'm sorry that you lost your son. Been knowing the man all my life. He'll have enough of stepping up to the line. I'm just, my heart. Don't let your neighbors and your friend or your... He didn't run over my dog. He ran over my son. Something happened in Georgia yesterday that caused someone to lose their life. Do y'all know them? Do y'all know the folks? You know them? I challenge you and however I should say it, or charge you if I can. I'm just nobody here, but reach out. I've already asked for the number. Got the pastor's number. I'm telling you, this is a hurt that never goes away. I cut the end of my finger off about 5 years ago, and finally it quit hurting. Finally, 3 years later, I can chord my guitar again. Finally, you know, it's like, I can somebody asked me on the way to the hospital, is he going to be able to play his guitar? I said, am I going to be able to hold a biscuit? I wasn't worried about a guitar. These folks has gone into the darkest, deepest place that they could ever go into. The only thing that could be worse is if there were two that was lost, if there was three, if there was several. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there's no word to describe losing your child. There's no word to describe them losing their child. Pray for those folks. Pray for those folks. What's the name again? Hardesty. I urge you to pray for them and hope that you never get the call that they got. Hope that you never get that call. I'm not being pitiful for myself, but I'm telling you, we know. We know. Reach out to someone that you know like this. It's our heartbeat anymore. Where's my little victory? Just one more. Come here, victory. I nicknamed him Victory last night. From the back, it just looked like Dallas standing there about, how old are you? 13. Just looks like Dallas. That blonde hair, little skinny thing, little slim fit. I'm going to buy him a suit. Pastor's going to take care of it before General Conference next year. My little Dallas, just one more second. My little Dallas was known as the slickest dresser in the Pentecost, man. I'm telling you, he set trends for young men, and he was their friend. Let me. Could I just one more? I'm trying to encourage you, and you wound up tight, man, and I know that. Let me encourage you, young folks, just for a second. Look, dress right, act right. Don't embarrass your mom. Don't embarrass your dad. Don't. Y'all will be in a motel setting one of these days, where you are up and down the elevator, maybe not you. I don't know how quick you'll get there. Maybe it's next year. I don't know. I told my kids, do not embarrass me with Brother Steve Wilson, any of these directors, any of our, come on. Don't leave the motel. I'm telling you something that's good. Don't leave the church, first of all. I'm going to hang on to you. I love you, buddy. This is my new pet. Well, I can't say that. Dallas is my pet. He thinks I'm crazy. He thinks I'm crazy. Well, he knows it by now. But I'm just saying, thank you for the invitation to pray for him. I want to extend help to folks in this situation. Brother Steve Wilson came to me on the day we lost Dallas, and he said, I almost know how you feel. And Brother Steve Wilson is a perfect gentleman, preacher's friend. You know him. He said, but I can't know the personal relationship yet. But I understand the loss, because he'd lost his son some 17, 18 years ago. And he told me just 2-3 months ago, he said, I just had to pull over just the other day. At that time, it was just like yesterday. I just had to pull over, and I just broke down. We're talking 18 years. So, bro, I've said too much already.
Give him a hand. Amen. He is our family now. Amen. The Martins are a family now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands? Hallelujah. Can we get our mind? We've shouted. We've taken money. We've honored. Amen. There are many others that are here that we have not honored. But you are important to us. Amen. Brother Powell on the back row back there. Brother and Sister Powell does an awesome job with our path lighter. We honor him today. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. But everyone that is here today will never match the honor of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Can we just honor him for just a few minutes? In the name of Jesus, we honor you tonight in this house, God. God, we've already honored man, but God, we've come to honor you. God, we've come to lift you up. We've come to lift your name up in this house, God. Come on, in the name of Jesus, we worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm all about getting rid of the negativity in my life. I don't know about you, but that's me. Are you ready to stomp on the devil's neck a little bit?
Hallelujah.
I am. Going up to the high places. Going up to the high places. Going up to the high places. Going to the devil's kingdom down. Going up to the high places. Going up to the high places.
Come on, do you want to go up to the high places tonight? Hallelujah. Do you want to go higher in worship? Higher in your walk with God? Hallelujah. Over you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every apostolic church that's represented here. Hallelujah. We bind the enemy that's trying to come against them. Every apostolic preacher in the house tonight. Hallelujah. We bind the devil that's trying to come against you tonight. You got one more in you? Just one more. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Amen. When you have it, say amen. We're not at our home churches where it's on the screen. It means you have to use your Bible. Anybody know what that is still? Amen. 2 Kings, the second chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes and rent them to two pieces. He took up also the mantle, somebody say the mantle, of Elijah, and fell from him, and went back and stood by the banks of Jordan. We've shouted. We've danced. We've sung. We've had a good time. We've learned. Amen. We have grown together in this conference. But tonight I want to preach to you from this sobering thought: the discarded mantles of callings past. The discarded mantles of callings past. Father, we ask you that you would touch us. God, that your anointing would fall upon us. God, I ask you that you would come down in this house tonight, God. God, touching every single person under the sound of my voice. God, that your anointing would rest upon each of us, God. God, give us ears to hear. God, eyes to see the wonders that are in this house. God, I ask you, Lord, that your anointing would begin to flow out of the lips of clay. God, for they are nothing without you. God, I lift up your name in this house. God, this is not about me. God, this is not about anybody else that's here, but God, this is about you. God, we've come to honor you one more time before we part our ways and go to our designated houses and churches, God. God, before we go, I ask you, Lord, for one more word. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would come down one more time and touch us. God, that you would anoint us, that when we leave this place tomorrow morning, that we would go back to our churches, God, on fire like never before. God, with anointing that we've never had before. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to sweep across this house, God, with understanding and knowledge of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight as long as you promise that you will not sit on the preaching. Amen. I am tired. I know that you are tired, but we've got one more. Amen. The Bible tells us if we backtrack, we rewind, amen, back to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 19th verse, the Bible says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And with the 12, Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." We know without a doubt that the mantle represented the man of God. Amen. The mantle represented the prophet of God, somebody that heard the voice of God in the midnight hour, somebody that was in tune with God, somebody that was given the gifts of callings and anointings. Amen. We know without a doubt that the mantle was something that was placed upon him. With the mantle came anointing. With the mantle came power. With the mantle came many things. Amen. But so many times, amen, the man of God walks by and places the mantle upon us. But life circumstances and the things that are going on around me, I allow my life to get so turned upside down. Hallelujah. That I discard my mantle, because the wages of sin are more important than the house of God, more important than the preaching of God. Hallelujah. The things that I do and the things that I say and the way that I walk, hallelujah, the places that I go, the things that I look at, the things that I watch with my two eyes, the things that I allow to enter into my ears, hallelujah, will be brought before me on the day of judgment. So many times we, as apostolics, hallelujah, I've seen it many, many times, young men, hallelujah, that have a mantle that is on their life, hallelujah, but things and circumstances and the sins of this world are more important than the mantle that has been placed upon them. My friend, if you've got a mantle placed on your shoulders, hallelujah, do not throw it to the wayside. Do not allow it to fall off your shoulders, but preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. It is a mandate of God for the apostolic church to be the apostolic church when God comes back. It is a mandate of God that I be wearing the mantle that God has placed upon me. Hallelujah. But young men, every single day, old men, I know men that are in their 50s and 60s, my senior, amen, that have allowed their mantle to be discarded, and they can preach and they can sing and they can lead worship, but something was more important. Let me tell you something. My bride back there is the most important woman in my life. Hallelujah. Every man in this house should feel the same way. Hallelujah. Don't let your eyes wander. Don't let your fingers wander. Hallelujah. Don't let yourself get into the place that your mantle can be stolen by the devil. My children are important to me. The way that I treat my wife, the way that I speak to my wife, the way that I treat my daughters, hallelujah, will set precedence for the way that men treat them when they are older. Amen. But so many, the devil has creeped in. I preached a message several years ago, The Shadows of Our Steeple, and I talked about how the devil creeps in through the shadows, and he sits down along beside us, and he sits down along beside us in worship, and he sits down along beside us while we pray, and he don't mind all of that, but what he minds is when I put that mantle on, and I begin to do the work of God, and I begin to do what I'm called to do. I begin to walk in the Holy Ghost. I begin to tell things. And then all of a sudden the devil begins to get upset. Can I? I'm going to walk in the Holy Ghost. Brother King, the devil thought he had him. The devil thought he had his mantle laid aside. The devil thought he was going to wreak havoc in your life. Hallelujah. But my Bible tells me in Psalms that we are flourished in righteousness. Amen. When righteousness is reigning in my body, when righteousness is reigning in my home, when holiness is reigning, hallelujah, over every single thing, the devil cannot take my mantle. The devil can't take it. He can't take what is not his. He can't take what he is not anointed to give in the first place. Amen. The devil is not anointed. He might have power and he might come against you, but let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. When I place that mantle on, there is nothing that can stop me. There's nothing that can stop my call. There is nothing that can come against. Come here, Brother Cook. Brother Cook's daddy pastored for many, many years. 64
at least.
64 years. Pastored United Pentecostal Church. 64 years. Nobody was there to pick up that mantle when he took his last breath. And the devil thought that the legacy of the Cooks was over. That the mantle that he had was over. That the healing that he preached was over. Hallelujah. That the pulpit that he darkened was over. Hallelujah. But something happened inside a man in Lawton, Oklahoma. Hallelujah. And God moved upon him. And he picked up that mantle when everybody said he couldn't. When everybody looked down on it. A discarded mantle that he picked up, and now he is pastoring in St. Anne. Come on, somebody. Brother Starbucks, there is nothing more important than the mantle that has been placed on your life. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God has placed a mantle on you. Hallelujah. There's nothing more important outside of your family than doing the work of God. Hallelujah. Doing what God has called him to do. Hallelujah. And that mantle. The devil thought he had him. I don't know, but I... As Brother Martin did yesterday, last night, he imagined God tapping. I imagine at the side of God's throne that there is a stack of mantles. There is a stack of mantles because somebody would not preach the gospel. Hallelujah, because somebody would not pick it up. They know it's theirs. They have the mandate of God. They have the calling of God. But they just cannot seem to find it within them to put the mantle on. And to walk holy and to talk holy, to live righteously. It's too hard, preacher. Living for God is too hard. Carrying the mantle is too heavy. But Elisha said, the only thing that I want from you, every young man, listen to me in this house. All I want from you is a double portion. It's a double portion. The interesting thing is that before he is taken away, he gives him one more instruction as his man of God. One more instruction. He says, if you are present when I'm taken away, you'll get a double portion.
But if you are not there, then you are out of luck. You don't have a mantle. You don't have nothing. Hallelujah. You're just another man of God. But let me tell you something, that the presidents of this general conference has been restoring God's chosen. Hallelujah. It's time for you to reach into your closet and to get that mantle out and begin to clean it off and begin to put it back on your shoulders again. Preacher, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know the roads that I've gone down. You don't know the sin that I've committed. My friend, there is an old-fashioned altar, hallelujah, that you can find your place in. Come on, worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on. There are pastors that are in this room that aren't pastoring anymore. You're still going to church and you're still preaching every once in a while. But let me tell you, you have a mandate to be the pastor that God has called you to be. Hallelujah. You have a mandate of God to step to a pulpit and preach the word of God like never before. Where is your mantle today? Is it hanging in your closet? Is it hidden from the fact? Adam, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, where are you, Adam? And he said, I hid myself because I was naked. How many times have I hid my mantle from God because I was in a peculiar situation? Because I found myself behind the screen of a computer. Come on, my friend. Pick up that mantle. Begin to preach the word of God. Don't let something that flashes on a TV screen, don't let something that flashes on a computer keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Let God be God in your home. You don't understand the addiction. You don't understand. My friend, I might not understand it, but I know a God that does, that was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that he knew that I would have downfalls. He knew that I would have upsets. He knew that I would fall. I said this on Sunday at my church. Judas, 30 pieces of silver, betrays the Lord.
walks into the Garden of Gethsemane, kisses Jesus on the face. He tells them before they get there, the man that I kissed, that's Jesus. What's interesting to me is these men that were coming after him has been following him. But they cannot know who he was. They'd been following him. They knew who he was, but they had to have somebody kiss him on the face. Hallelujah, because they could not see who he was. They did not know who he was, though they went to the synagogue and prayed, though they offered sacrifice. They didn't know him. John 1 tells us that he came to his own, and his own knew him not. They did not know him. They listened to him preach. They set up traps for him. It was Judas, his own. And before Judas could pull away, he grabbed him. And he said, my friend. He said, Judas, I know you betrayed me, but you still got a mantle. You still got a mandate to preach the word. You still got to tell them, hallelujah, that I am manifested in flesh. He pulled him up and said, you're my friend, because he knew that his end was near. And he didn't want him to die. Today, when's the last time you picked up your Bible and God began to speak a word? When's the last time that you stepped into the pulpit and allowed God to use you, and it wasn't a canned message, and it wasn't something that I pulled off of JoelOsteen.com? Hallelujah. I tell my church, if you listen to Joel Osteen, you're going to hell anyway. You got better places to get a word of God than Joel Osteen. You better dig into the word and listen to the voice of God. If you can't preach Acts 2:38 without it being a fresh word, you have no place. If you can't preach holiness, I'm going to get up here so y'all don't hit me. If they can't preach holiness and be relevant to the time that we live in, then this desk is not for you. Give it back to God. This is a sacred desk that God has afforded me. This is not a privilege. This is not a pedigree. This is not a calling placed upon me because my mom said I could preach or my daddy said I could preach. But this is a sacred desk that God has allowed every one of us to stand behind. Matthew 20:16, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few are chosen. I called them, but they were too busy. The job was more important than the calling. Making another buck was more important than preaching the word. I called them, but they were so messed up on drugs and alcohol. We don't call out sin anymore. We beat around the bush. Wages of sin are death, but the gifts of God are eternal life.
I got a form of godliness, but I'm denying the power thereof. I'm denying what God has placed upon me. Hallelujah. I'm denying when I stand into the pulpit and I can't call out sin anymore because I am affected by sin.
Y'all ain't shouting like y'all.
We can't get in our pulpits and preach against sin and not call sin out, preacher. God put a mantle on you for a reason. Hallelujah. God put a mantle on you. Hallelujah. Because he thought you had the backbone to carry it. Hallelujah. But then you got in the pulpit and proved that there was no backbone, that your wrists are limp.
Some of us might as well go to Joel Osteen's church.
I said this in the business meeting the other day. If we associate ourselves as being apostolic, then we need to be apostolic. Holiness is still right. God has placed a mantle on holiness on every preacher that is in this house. Hallelujah. Preach it. Preach holiness. Preach righteousness. Preach separation.
Well, holiness is on the inside, preacher. Brother Martin, holiness is on the inside. The Bible says, without holiness, I've preached this for many years, that even if I made it to heaven without holiness, the Bible says no man shall see the Lord. If I make it to heaven without holiness, I still ain't gonna see him. But my Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that tells me that at some point in time that I have to see, Brother Greg, I have to see the Lord. Hallelujah. So without it,
you ain't my pastor. You don't have a place to tell me what to do. That's okay. You keep that attitude. You go give your pastor what for on Sunday. If your pastor ain't preaching it, I tell my church that if I say that I'm apostolic, then they better hold me to it. When they voted me in as pastor, they knew that I was apostolic. When they said, we want you to pastor our church, hallelujah, they knew that I was going to preach separation. They knew that I was going to preach holiness. They knew that that mantle was on me because we walked into the place and everybody knew it.
They knew. They knew what they were getting into. Brother Keith, y'all knew what y'all were getting into.
And if they knew it, then they better hold me to it. Don't get mad when somebody walks up in your church and begins to tell you.
When people begin to walk up and talk to the preacher as straight as the preaching is tonight, then the preacher's in trouble. Because he's not preaching it anymore.
Let me tell you something. There are discarded mantles all over this house tonight. Hallelujah. You might have preached a couple of youth services. And you might have preached a couple of events. Hallelujah. But all of a sudden, now you ain't even associated as such. My friend, pick up the mantle again. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your callings and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall not fail. I feel like a failure. I feel like a failure in my ministry. I feel like a failure in my calling. You feel like a failure because you are not making your callings and election sure. You've got to be sure. You've got to know without a doubt that I heard the voice of God and He called me. He called me.
Brother Akers, in this passage, Paul writing to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Brother Greg, we're scared of prophets these days. We got preachers preaching against prophets. Hallelujah. We got people that are scared of prophets. Amen. I remember as a young man, hallelujah, when prophets would come through, people would not even come to church because they were afraid they were going to read their mail. Where are the prophets? Where are the prophets prophesying over their churches? I declare in the name of Jesus that every seat in this house will be full. I declare in the name of Jesus that we will have people baptized in the name. I declare in the name of Jesus, where are the prophets?
Prophets have laid aside their mantles because preaching pays better. I can be down if y'all want me to. Where are the prophets these days that will stand in the pulpits and declare to the house of God, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord? Where is the tongues and interpretation in our churches? We've had tongues and interpretation twice this week, my friend. It needs to be in every apostolic church that the voice of God might be present.
On of hands. Where has the laying on of hands gone? Where has it gone? The anointing of God. I am a conduit of the anointing of God. God flows through me. I'm fixing to blow your mind and mess with your theology. And your pastor can fix it when you get home. Y'all already paid me, so I'll say what I want. The Bible says greater things that you will do than I have done. I've seen the blinded eyes open. I've seen the deaf ears unstopped. My daughter, Alea, God healed her from cancer. She had cancer grow on the back of her ear, and God healed her completely of cancer. They couldn't even find it in her body. I've seen these things. They're no different than what Jesus did. You ain't impressing me. Just because you got the gift of healing. I've seen people that didn't even have the oneness of God have the gift of healing. That don't impress me. But when I lay hands on something, somebody, and I begin to declare, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I begin to declare in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, I am a conduit of the Holy Ghost. This is the greater works. Jesus never filled anybody with the Holy Ghost while he walked on the earth. He said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus never laid hands on one person, but he gave me the mantle. Gave me the mantle to be a conduit of the Holy Ghost. I cannot find in the Word of God. I cannot find in the Word of God outside of when Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem and you'll be endued with power from on high. I've never found in the Word of God. The Bible says that while Peter was yet speaking these words, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I cannot find in the Word of God where anybody tarried for the Holy Ghost. The battery died. I cannot find in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I've got to have that mantle on my life. Hallelujah. That when somebody walks to my altar, hallelujah, that I can step off that platform after preaching a word to them and lay hands on them. And they receive the Holy Ghost. Any old school? I know I'm young. I grew up under pastors that started in the 40s. I know I'm young, but Brother Greg, back in the day when they baptized somebody and they did not come out of the water speaking in tongues, they baptized them again. They did not come out of the water speaking in tongues. They told them they needed to repent and come back and get in the water again. And 3,000 were added to the church. And I struggled to get one added to the church. Because even preachers lay aside their mantle. They get in their pulpits every Sunday and preach to a dead church and preach dead messages. And their songs are dead. Hallelujah. And God says, just pick up the mantle and I'll send you revival. Preach like you used to preach. Fast like you used to fast. Give like you used to. I knew when I came out here, God gave me this word. I preached this at my church. I tried it out on them. They looked at me just like you're looking at me. But it's a mandate from God that we do what he has called us to do. Why am I in the church if I'm not going to be used of God? Why do I go service after service after service and I'm not touched by God? Why do I go day after day after day and I do not know what I'm going to do next? I'll tell you why. Because your prayer life went with the mantle. You laid it aside. When you lay the mantle aside, you lay down everything, my friend. When you lay down holiness, baptism goes next. I've never met a preacher that has laid down holiness that has stayed in the oneness movement.
When you compromise in one area, you'll compromise in every area. We are an apostolic, AFF, Apostolic Faith Fellowship. That means that we are apostolic in word. We are apostolic in dress. We're apostolic in word. And we're apostolic in dress. Hallelujah. The word of God gives me a mandate to preach the word. I've got to preach the word. The Bible tells us that if I desire the office of a bishop, I desire a good thing. Then it gives me instruction. Just what we did not want. Instruction. 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 Moses did not lead the children of Israel out of Egypt without instruction. You cannot lead your church without instruction. You've got to use the word of God every time that you preach. You've got to, my friend. I'm not beating anybody up, but I'm not calling anybody out. But we've got to be what we say we are. John 1, 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. I believe without a doubt that the apostolic church has taught too much. We live in a generation when apostolic Bible colleges are teaching the art of preaching. Now, when I said this at my church, I got stoned. Bible colleges are teaching preachers how to preach. They're not picking up a mantle. They're not getting anointed of God. But they're learning the art of preaching. And they learn how to put these words with these words. And it sounds pretty. My friend, I don't care if it's pretty. Give me some old-fashioned victory preaching. Give me some preaching about the 11th hour. Give me some preaching about the woman at the well. Give me some old-fashioned preaching where when I leave the church, I don't care how apostolic you are and how holy you are, your toes still got stomped. Give me some old-fashioned preaching. As the same anointing teacheth you of all things. Preachers don't pray like they used to. Can I tell you where the apostolic movement is right now? I'm not talking about your church or your church. I'm talking about the movement. Hallelujah. That we put together a message, and we go and we preach it. We never put any prayer into it. We never put any study into it. We never put any time with God into it. Hallelujah. I just walk to the pulpit, and because I can yell and spit in a microphone for 45 minutes, I feel like I've done something. But until somebody's soul is touched with the word, I have done nothing. I have done nothing. It can sound pretty and the title can be fancy and I can have all the words and all the scripture. I saw on Facebook the other day somebody put, just because young men, there's 400 scriptures pulled up whenever you search a word in your search engine does not mean you have to use every one of them when you preach. Prayer warriors have laid down their mantles. The prayer warriors are in their graves. And nobody has picked up their mantles. Women of God praying for hours in the day. Men of God praying for hours in the day. Where are they at today? The mantle is resting beside their graves because it is callings of past. Hallelujah. My granny can't pray any more prayers. My grandmother and my grandfather can't pray any more prayers. They're gone from this life. If no one picks up the mantle, talked about his grandmother praying. Will somebody pick up the mantle of a prayer warrior? Can we quit gunning for the pulpit? I don't want a mantle unless it's a mantle of preaching. I don't want a mantle unless it puts me on the platform at General Conference. I don't want a mantle unless it's the gift of prophecy, unless it's the gift of healing. Where are the prayer warriors? Where are the prayer warriors? Where are the men and women of God that they don't do anything? I remember back when I was a kid and the preaching was going on, you could hear somebody praying for the preacher. You could hear somebody saying, God bless them. God touch them. Anoint them tonight. God, that you would pour out the Holy Ghost in this church. Their mantles are gone. They're discarded. They're by the wayside. I didn't come to get you to shout tonight. I come to stir your spirit before you go back to your church. That you would leave this place with a mantle. That you would leave this place on fire for God. Stand with me across this house. What if Elisha, when Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, was not there? Brother Keith, come here. It's already been mentioned several times that I have needed a healing in my body. I have 3 incurable diseases. I have an autoimmune disease. I have erosive gastritis in my esophagus to where I have to go and get my throat stretched out. And I have osteoporosis in my lower lumbar. And there are times that I am not able to be at church. Brother Hunt, come here. Brother Julian, come here. But there are some men of God. While I'm at home in bed sick, and I've gotten up and I've prayed and I've prepared a message for my church, and I cannot get out of bed, my body is racked with pain. I can't walk sometimes without the assistance of a cane. Bible says without a vision, the people perish. If your ministry team never gets the vision that you have, they cannot carry the mantle of the church. These men right here, I do not know what I would do without them holding up my arms when I'm sick. I don't have to worry that when I get out of bed and feel better that Brother Hunt has taken over my church. I don't have to worry that Brother Keith has taken over my church. But I know that when I go back, that I'm able to stand behind the pulpit and preach like God has commanded me to. This is what I want you to do. Y'all stay here. Brother Martin, come. Brother Akers, Brother Pickard, those pastors that are here that have saints with you. If you are a minister in your church, I want you to come and I want you to stand by your pastor.